Today we arrive at the last, but not the least, of the political topics that we need to discuss prior to the election on November 3rd. Thanks be to God, it's almost over. Literally, thanks be to God. Because we end with these two twin topics of religious liberty and Catholic schools, because they are two subjects just soaked through and through with the sacred, with God. The United States Catholic bishops, in their document, Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship, wrote this: U.S. policy should promote religious liberty vigorously, both at home and abroad. Our first and most cherished freedom is rooted in the very dignity of the human person, a fundamental right that knows no geographical boundaries. In other words, even more unalienable than the right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is the right to worship God according to our conscience. Religious liberty, therefore, is our first freedom. But not everyone cares that much about religious liberty, or for that matter, about religion itself. I heard about one scientist from an Ivy League university who decided to put God to the test recently. He said sarcastically, "Listen, God, if you even exist, we have decided that we don't need you anymore. What you did in the past, we can do much better in the present. These days we can clone people, transplant organs, travel to other planets, and many other things that people previously thought were miracles." To his shock and surprise, a booming voice came from the clouds. "If you believe you don't need me, let's put your theory to the test. Let's have a competition to see who can create a human being." The stunned scientist quickly collected his wits and agreed to the test. God declared that they should do it like he did it back in the old days when he created Adam in the book of Genesis. "Fine," said the scientist with a scoff, and he bent down to scoop up a handful of dirt. But God said suddenly, "Stop, get your own dirt." Sometimes you have to do a little digging in the dirt before you discover how much you need God. That's exactly what Paul Tillich did, the 20th century philosopher of religion who called God the ground of being. The ground of being. That is, God is the ground that we stand on. Indeed, he is the ground that everything stands on. But just as we easily ignore the dirt and the ground that we walk on, sometimes even shaking the dust from our feet, like modern science does, so we can take God and religion for granted. As a consequence, we miss how religious freedom is our first freedom. The Catholic bishops explained the importance of protecting religious liberty using these terms. They say, "In the United States, religious freedom generally enjoys strong protection in our law and culture. But these protections are now in doubt." The bishops give a concrete example, adding, "The long-standing tax exemption of the church has been explicitly called into question at the highest levels of government, precisely because of her teaching on marriage." Now, I agree that losing our tax-exempt status presents a real risk for churches. But I believe a much bigger risk is when we exempt God from daily life. When we think like the Ivy League scientist who scoffs that he no longer needs God. In other words, we should protect religious liberty not because it is being attacked by atheists from the outside, but because it is being attacked by apathy, indifference from the inside. As the Pogo cartoon strip said long ago, we have met the enemy and the enemy is us. The real enemy of religious liberty is not atheism, but apathy. Have you heard of the analogy of the frog in boiling water? If you put a frog into a pot of boiling water, it will naturally jump out. The water is too hot. But if you put a frog into a pot of lukewarm water and slowly raise the temperature incrementally, the frog will not notice the gradual rising heat and will happily boil to death. I am convinced that modern-day Christians are like that frog. And our modern culture is turning up the heat 1 degree at a time, imperceptibly, so that our priorities and our principles are slowly changing, so that God is no longer our greatest concern. We are far more passionate about protecting our freedom of speech and our freedom of the press and freedom of assembly, far more than our freedom of religion. For many American Christians, religious liberty is no longer our first freedom, it is our last freedom. When we see that the true threat to religious liberty emerges from the inside and not from the outside, we can also catch why Catholic schools are so crucial and also why they struggle to stay open. Like St. Boniface here in Fort Smith that closed 2 years ago. It is not atheism that closes Catholic schools, but apathy, indifference to religion. The bishops insist, parents, the first and most important educators, have a fundamental right to choose the education best suited to the needs of their children, including public, private, and religious schools. In other words, schools are an extension of the educational responsibility that rests squarely on the shoulders of parents. Hence, they should have the freedom of school choice. But the reason Catholic schools are critical is because when religion is rooted in the school curriculum, it eventually blossoms in the culture of future generations of Americans. I will forever be grateful to Catholic schools for my priestly vocation. Through countless masses, which sadly I slept through many sermons, uncomfortable confessions, rosaries and May crownings, Lenten stations of the cross, Friday fish sticks and cheese pizza, the example of humble and holy priests, something finally clicked in me. What clicked? Catholic schools taught me that there is more to life than meets the eyes. Because ultimately, there is more to me than meets the eyes. Catholic schools taught me that I have a soul, a spiritual wellspring from which the rest of me is watered and grows. And that soul was a gift from God. When I realized that, I wanted to give that soul and the rest of me back to God as a gift. And so I became a priest. That is how Catholic schools taught me that religion is relevant and how religious liberty is our first freedom. And that is why scientists cannot see that. We have now touched on 8 topics that every Catholic Christian should ponder before the presidential election. They are abortion and pro-life, racism, marriage and the LGBTQ community, immigration, the environment, healthcare, global solidarity, and last but not least, religious liberty in Catholic schools. My homilies were not intended to unravel the tight-knit complexity of these issues, but only to help your conscience to see them under a spiritual light, the light of faith. The Catechism of the Catholic Church beautifully describes conscience, stating this: "For man has in his heart a law inscribed by God. His conscience is man's most secret core and his sanctuary. There he is alone with God, whose voice echoes in his depths." In other words, first form your conscience by prayer and study, and then obey the voice of your conscience when you go to vote. By the way, do you know which paragraph number describes conscience in the Catechism of the Catholic Church? It's paragraph number 1776, the year the United States became a nation. A nation where we are free to follow our conscience. And that is not a coincidence. That is a God incidence. An incidence that a scientist might not have noticed. Praised be Jesus Christ.